Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. By God, that's Brian Broaddus's music. Brian Broaddus is in the house. A special appearance. Join us here today for Below the Belt as we talk Dallas Cowboys draft. Cowboys last night trade down to pick 29. Pick up an extra pick today. They will be picking at 56. 73 and 87, three picks today. They select Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma, with pick 29. Everybody generally last night at the Pluckers okay at your locations with what the Cowboys did, or was there some anger?
They were okay when they traded down.
Well, some were angry they didn't get the center that all you guys wanted.
Barton, Graham Barton from Duke.
Yeah.
Which is, we know from last night's press conference, they had four players when they were trading down. They were at 24. They were going back to 29, and they said, we got four players we like. One of them will be there. They liked Graham Barton, the center from Duke. They liked Darius Robinson, the defensive lineman from Missouri, Jordan Morgan, the offensive lineman from Arizona, and then the guy they picked, the only one left of the group, Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle at Oklahoma, a guy who's played mainly right tackle but will be a left here.
Brian, how did you just feel about how everything went last night?
I think overall they went in with the idea of trying to recoup that fourth round pick. And I know some of the things that we did on the draft show. We did a show just about moving back in the draft. And we didn't go to Detroit because it was a massive overpay. They didn't have the capital at the time. We didn't think that they would give up the 73rd pick in order to. Now, for you to get a premium position of a tackle and then also pick up a massive overpay from the Lions, I think that was a well-executed trade back. The Graham Barton, I liked Guyton more than I had on my board, or my stack. If you go on 105.3 The Fan, my stack has Guyton ahead of Barton. So I'm on board with it. I know there's a lot of talk about him and what he potentially can be or can't be. The center would have been a nice get. But to get 73 on the massive overpay, that is going to be a really good football player for you.
Aren't the people who are saying, why didn't you just take Barton? Do you think they're just missing that, like, he could easily be a bust?
They all could be bust, Choppy.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this thing.
Every one of them. And this is the problem in a way. We talk about these players for 4 months. You know, we have draft shows. We have, and as we lead up on our shows, talk about them every day, and then the coverage we have here at the station is outstanding, and then what we do at DallasCowboys.com. And so people get locked in. People don't have access to Graham Barton. People don't have total access to Guyton. You know, so we're doing our best to study the players. They have their boards. They have their reasons why.
Yeah.
I mean, we've sold Powers Johnson the whole time. But then when you don't check all the boxes, all of a sudden, well, why are you not taking Powers Johnson here, Broaddus? You talked about him for four damn months.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a little bit of a hard thing for people to deal with right now.
Give us your scouting report of Guyton.
Yeah, this is a guy, I would think this is closer to a Flozell Adams type of a player. When you start to talk about the size of him, the ability to, I think there's some fluidity to his game. I like the way they use him in space. He looks very natural moving. The thing that he's going to have to work on, and we talked about the same thing with Tyler Smith, was his hands. And it's not a holding situation. It's sometimes hand placement makes a difference here in the National Football League. You know, Fashanu, guys like that, Olafanu, these guys that block and their hands are low, and then all of a sudden they have to reset. You have to get your hands on the defender before they have a chance to get to your shoulder. They get to your shoulder, you're beat. So to me, again, some hand stuff is going to have to be worked on, but I think the feet are light. I feel like that, though, the ability to play in space, the cutoffs, the reaches, all those things that you incorporate with run game stuff that the Cowboys really are going to need. And this guy's a massive guy. Again, Flozell Adams type of a body there, if Cowboy fans from back in the day remember that.
Can we pump the brakes on him starting immediately?
Bobby, I know, has been pretty adamant about that. you know, and I feel like, though, the one thing that we've been consistent on with this group, though, is plug-and-play linemen. You know, if they feel like, though, that this guy can be a plug-and-play player, I think you have to give them the absolute benefit of the doubt. I'm plug-and-playing the guy. You know, I get Bobby's concern about him.
On the left side?
On the absolutely on the left side. You know, he's been a right tackle, made one start on the left side. But to me, this is the body type and the athletic ability is something I'm more than willing to work for.
He's been, and look, he's raw, but he's not even as raw to me as Tyler Smith was. Like Tyler Smith, I thought his tape at Tulsa looked more raw to me than Guyton's at Oklahoma. And so it's not outside the realm of possibility to perform the right. And again, it's not even as much my own reservations about him stepping in and playing because I trust what kind of evaluations they make. I'm just talking about the history of this coaching staff specifically not to want to put a lot in the hands of young rookie offensive linemen unless they just absolutely have to.
Brian brought us in studio special Friday morning surprise. We have him for a couple more minutes. What else, Brian, besides Atlanta, will you remember from last night? What else jumped out to you, good or bad, from what the other teams did?
I think the fact that there were so many teams that pre-draft were talking about moving and we were thinking about chaos.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
When we go back and ask at the end of all this, I wonder if the price of going up for some of these teams was just too much. And there's some people that actually settled on their boards and said, you know what, we're just going to sit here and take this guy. I think the Bo Nix pick is a surprising one to me, but I can understand where Sean Payton is. He doesn't have a quarterback. Sean is one of those guys. I work with Sean. Sean's one of my best friends. He is one of those guys that feel like that he can develop a guy. And, you know, Bo Nix was not a great player at Auburn. Choppy's an SEC guy. He'll tell you that himself.
On the road.
Yeah, he is a terrible SEC player, but at the Pac-12, he did a great job. There were things he picked up. He got better with his accuracy. He got better with his vision of the field. And he had a lot of weapons to work with there at Oregon, and it showed up for the way he was playing.
Do you think they double dip today with that extra pick? They go offensive line again?
I think the offensive line is in play here. I don't know if it's going to even be a center or a guard.
You know, a name I think we maybe haven't talked enough about during the process that I think we need to have an eye on for them today. Dominic Pooney.
Yeah, there's
what a name.
Yeah, there's
they had his brother here. Yeah, Derek was here a couple years ago.
He from Kansas. He's a guard. See, there's some people that believe that this is probably Zach Martin's last year. So are you know, and everybody kind of felt like that TJ Bass was the natural replacement. They'll tell you that they feel like that TJ Bass at right guard is better than TJ Bass at left guard. I think the key thing, by the way, of drafting this tackle, it also keeps Tyler Smith at left guard, which might be his best position.
We know you have other things to do, man.
I do. What are we looking at? Linebacker today? What else?
Linebacker and running back. I mean, obviously, Jerry guard. Told everybody they want to pick Jonathan Brooks last night. So we know that. But linebacker, running back, and then
I wouldn't discount a wide receiver here too.
I know everybody else would. I would not be opposed to if they had value at safety today.
Yeah.
Again, I would take a safety. I know that there are a lot of people who get worked up by that, but to me, there's a lot of depth at corner. There could be some really good value at corner. There could be some really good value at receiver. I think the names you're looking at today, Jonathan Brooks is a big one. If they lose out on Brooks, that second round pick could very easily be. I think they have Peyton Wilson on their board. I think they're okay with him.
There's some teams that have him known as a red tag, and that would be a medical risk. Would be something you have to deal with.
Let me ask you a question. As a scout in the building, when Jerry talks about Jonathan Brooks like that, does that...
Jerry, I think there's some times where Jerry is actually being very deceptive in a way. Jerry will throw Chum out there and every single look at Jerry selling his board and stuff like that. I think they like Jonathan Brooks. I also wonder he's thinking like, you know what? Let somebody go get Jonathan Brooks. We'll go somewhere else here.
Yeah.
We'll deflect to another area.
If they lose Jonathan Brooks, a couple other running back, because I think they are definitely coming out of today with a running back.
I like Lloyd. If they lose running back Lloyd, I think from USC would be an option. They like Davis a lot from Kentucky.
They like Ray Davis from Kentucky. He's big. One of the names that I think one of the names that is very familiar, especially if Derek Holland's listening right now. I really do think they like Blake Corum.
I think a lot of teams like Blake Corum. I don't know if they like him in the second round.
Him and Deuce together on the same team. I mean, you put them on top of each other, and they're not even as tall as Luka.
Corum is a guy who. We always talk about Mike McCarthy goes to these pro days and he kind of, you know, stands back, watches, takes it all in. McCarthy ran Corum through drills at Michigan. And so I know that that's a guy
Scotty that he earned his per diem there.
I know that there's, I know there are a lot of, I know that's a guy that I think coaches in the building like, I think the personnel department likes him. Obviously it's how much do you like him? Do you like him enough to take him to the second round? Or do you like him more in the third? There's kind of a, where's the sweet spot to you for running back? Is it third round?
I think I've got a couple of guys in the second, but I think it's third and fourth round for sure. Yeah.
And you don't have a fourth round pick. So if you lose out on, you know, Jonathan Brooks, then that second round pick could very easily be Peyton Wilson, the linebacker. Sorry, Luke Kuechly.
That's my Luke Kuechly guy. Yep.
Yeah. That's who he says he is.
Traits.
Edgerrin Cooper. If Edgerrin Cooper gets to them at 56 and they don't have Brooks, Cooper is a guy, the linebacker from A&M, that I think they would really like.
I think we're going to see a run on the corners and linebackers tonight myself. I really do.
Brian brought us the godfather of the draft coverage here on 105.3 The Fan with the special surprise pop in.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank
Have a great
you so
day.
So much, man. Appreciate it.
You're appreciated.
What else you think, Bob?
It's funny. I was looking at I was going through the draft, and I was trying to see, looking at what the rest of the NFC East did and looking at how things played out in front of it. This was a draft where, since COVID broke out, you've had – a lot of like every year, I don't know what changed during COVID. I mean, I know a lot changed during COVID, but I don't know what specifically changed in the function of every year. Now it feels like we go into going like, this is going to be the most unpredictable one yet. We don't know what anybody's doing. It's almost like there was no information sharing on the road in 2020.
Yeah.
So then they just all adjusted to that. And we're like, hey, let's not tip our hands here. But man, I think that Penix going from a guy where it's like, man, we don't even know if he could go in the first round. To all of a sudden, a team that paid somebody $45 million taking him eighth is like, that just goes to show you how little information is being shared right now.
It is. I mean, like, all these mock drafts, all these things that come out, it is a exercise in futility that these guys even do these things. They do them literally to justify paychecks.
Which is what makes the clear projecting to everybody that we are taking Jonathan Brooks in the second round today.
Yeah.
We'll tell everybody, have them chat about it in reports, and then I'll just say it myself in my press conference at night. That's what makes it so unique. It's like, man, information has gotten tighter.
Unless Broadus is right.
He's operated
smoke
this deception.
Screen, maybe.
Yeah, I want some Pony today.
I bet you do. Yeah, no, it's interesting. There's a lot of receiver depth today. They could go the direction of running back. I think running back and linebacker, they absolutely come with away with at least two of their three picks.
Are the Atlanta Falcons all-time morons? That kicks off the final hour of the week. Sean, RJ, and Roberto, make sure you stick with us right here on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.